This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Coming up, sounds no one should hear willingly. But first, the new film Out of Time is a dark story told in a bright place, the South Florida coast, out past where the lights of Miami dim and the sound of cicadas is up full. It's a story about the attractions and dangers of getting intoxicated by the Florida sun and or by the temptation of a beautiful bronze-skinned woman to whom you are not married. Denzel Washington stars in Out of Time. He plays the part of an upright police chief who seems not to deserve the treachery that swirls around him. The film opens October 3rd. It is directed by Carl Franklin. He and Mr. Washington also worked together on the 1995 film Devil in a Blue Dress. Carl Franklin joins us now from the studios of WHYY in Philadelphia. Carl Franklin, Mr. Franklin, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
What attracted you to this story?
I have to say that, you know, in the past, the kinds of things I've done have always had a stronger kind of social content or, you know, some universal theme underneath. In this case, this was sheer entertainment. And when I read it, I liked the kind of tainted characters that were on both sides of the law in this film. And I guess once we get into the second act, I like the urgency, the way that, you know, the second act and third act all take place within a span of about 4 or 5 hours. So that's kind of what attracted me.
Let's hear a clip. This is a scene where Denzel Washington, who plays the chief of police, Matt Whitlock, in this the small Florida town, is having, a tense telephone conversation with a tightly wrapped federal investigator who's intent on some missing evidence.
Hello.
What the hell is your problem down there?
No problem.
I told you to get that money ready. What are you, a parrot telling me what I said? I know
I'm
what
not
I
a
said.
Parrot.
No, I'm not a parrot. I'm not a parrot. I know what you said.
Now, where the hell is the money?
Hey, if you shut up for 5 minutes, I can tell you where the money is. I can tell you where it is.
I tried that line on the IRS this morning, by the way. They evidently haven't seen the film.
No.
You must enjoy working with Denzel Washington.
You know, in American cinema history, he's one of our best. I think we can safely say that now with his body of work. And anytime you can work with someone who has the acumen, you know, that he has in this business, I mean, you have to, I think, you know, embrace that.
Mm-hmm. This part wasn't written for him, I gather.
No, it was not, and it was not written for a black man. It was originally, basically all of the roles were white. And so once the studio opened it up to open casting, then, and when we went to Denzel and he said yes, then that allowed us to kind of take advantage of the full Florida landscape, you know, that you have in South Florida and Miami.
When you say the full Florida landscape, you're talking about national groups.
Yeah, that I've been saying, this potpourri of ethnicities that you find in Florida, in South Florida, at least Miami.
And how did the movie change, subtly or otherwise?
You know, once you get Denzel in a film, his rhythms are different. You know, you almost feel like the rank-and-file actor kind of plays top 40 and Denzel plays jazz. There's also just that weight that he gives to the film because of his the depth that he will go in terms of understanding the script and the requirements that you must meet in order for him to say, yes, I will do this script.
Matthias Lee Whitlock.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
You having breakfast with all your friends here?
I would invite you, Chris, but I don't want to.
You know, I'd sit down, but I don't want to.
Hey, Chris, try the crab. It's real good.
I'm allergic.
I know.
What intrigued me even more is something we don't have a clip of. There is a verbally violent confrontation between Denzel Washington and Dean Cain.
Mm-hmm.
In which the two of them are, to say the least, speaking bitterly and critically of each other. And race is never mentioned.
Right.
And I found this fascinating because these are two guys trying to bait each other into some kind of incident.
Mm-hmm.
And the time-honored way of doing that, of course, is to send to racial insult. But neither of their characters do that.
You know, that's kind of the easy way out in some ways, I guess. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as if that was the central focus of the piece. There was never the need to destroy the purity of that scene. You know, I thought Dave Collard wrote an incredibly charged, dramatic scene that would have taken on another color had we entered race into the subject.
When's the last time you had an acting job?
Oh, no, that's a horrible thing to ask me.
Well, I mean, because you were an actor, and at some point you made the transition. And sometimes, you know, actors who become directors go back. I mean, Richard Attenborough went back to a few acting roles after like about 25 years. Mm-hmm. And Mark Rydell, the director, has done some wonderful character roles.
You know, I saw myself in something about 8 years ago. It's a rerun of something that I had done on television, and I realized that if I came in and auditioned for myself, I probably wouldn't hire me.
Well, what's wrong with you, Mr. Franklin?
You know, that I don't know, but for some reason, yeah. I don't think it works well on screen. And I actually got very nervous about it because I raised a family on that faith in that quote-unquote talent, and I think about the jeopardy that I placed my family in, you know, and somehow we got through it.
I understand you're once an actor in a. I mean, I didn't actually see this program because I only watch public television and occasionally BBC North America. But it was something called the B team, the C team. What was that called?
You got it. The B team, the C team.
Well, of course you were in the A team with Mr. T.
Yes.
But
I was only part-time. Yeah. You know, I would come in. What they would do with us, I played Captain Crane. It was Captain Crane and Colonel Decker. Lance Legault was Colonel Decker. And what they did was, if they had a script that needed some, you know, some more action, because that's what the A-Team was all about, was action, then they would write us in. They'd have us come in and chase them around a little bit, you know, as an added pressure point, you know.
Now, or since you've been so wonderfully and likably modest about your acting career, let me try a theory out on you. In team sports, there's often a bromide that goes that the best managers or coaches are people who were mediocre players.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything to that analogy with movie directors?
I would say it's true in my case. I mean, I don't think of myself as a particularly good actor, and so maybe because of that I'm not invested with much of an ego in regards to, you know, what trying to get people to imitate what I did or thought I should have done or could have done.
Are you at the point now where young people come to you and say, Mr. Franklin, how do I make it in film?
Yes, I've had that question asked a few times.
Well, what do you wind up saying?
Well, I always say that it's kind of a mistake to think about making it in film, that really, you know, I never thought of it that way from the start, you know. I did at some point, but I think that when you do that, then you put yourself in the position of reaching for something as opposed to declaring that you are a filmmaker and starting to make movies with whatever you have available to you and in gaining resources as you go along and explore your art. That, I think, is the best way to approach it. If you have a Super 8 camera, you should shoot with one. If you only have a still camera, that's what you should start shooting with. Now that digital is available and is as inexpensive as it is, there is no excuse, you know, if you have the desire to make movies, to not just start to do them now. Mm-hmm. You come to the industry with a lot more clout and power that way than you do if you start out, you know, wanting to get a job in the business. You know, the evidence, of course, is Spike Lee, She's Gotta Have It, $18,000. He made that movie. Robert Rodriguez, El Mariachi, $7,500. Mm-hmm. You know, it's those kind of renegades. There's a breed of animal that has to make film. Mm-hmm. And those are the people who are going to, I think, continue to do it. And to base your scale on what Hollywood has to offer can be a very unrewarding experience.
Mr. Franklin, awfully nice talking to you.
This was a pleasure. Yeah, yeah.
Carl Franklin is director of the new film, Out of Time. It opens in theaters on October 3rd.